Hi, you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, and it's the 23rd of November 2011. And I'm Hereward Fenton here tonight with Josh Jackson, returning to discuss the latest news and oddities that are occurring around the world, fresh climate gate emails spouting forth, movements happening in world politics, World War III, of course, looming as always, as it always does. But we're not going to take it to heart. We're just going to have a chat and hopefully bring to you some fresh perspectives on what's going on in Australia and the world. And how's your week been, Mr. Jackson?
Oh, it's been fantastic. Yep, it's been one of those weeks that keep seeming to go on and on.
Well, that's good. It's good to have that feeling of continuity.
Yeah, it's a feeling of life extension.
Yeah, I've got the same thing. I get up every day and I just keep doing it. The monopoly money that we have to have is just, you know, it's obviously it's got to be paid. You know, those who demand the money have to be paid. So we have to find the monopoly money to pay them. But like, let's not get all freaked out over it. You know, let's not let it destroy our lives. The fact that we've got to, you know, get someone to give us monopoly money.
Yeah. In fact, you can turn it around and make it a good thing, you know, because monopoly money, you know, if you just rub two brain cells together, you can actually accumulate that stuff fairly easily.
I believe that. And
yeah, you just have to believe you can, you know. A lot of people have self-doubt and that sort of thing, but
everything happens in its own kind of time as well. You know, things don't happen exactly when you want them to, but yeah. You know, you plant a seed, you water it, you keep watering it every day, then a shoot, you know, you don't know exactly when that's going to happen. You don't know when the green shoot's going to appear. You keep watering the seed though.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think, Josh, but I mean, like, in terms of like the economy and what people do with their lives, what's disappointing is when you see so many people just spending their lives, filling their lives with supposedly economically productive work, but which means nothing to them. And I really want to get away from that. And that's why, like, I'm full-time in Truth News at the moment. I'm not working anymore. For those who don't know, I was engaged in the professional end of the mainstream media on the technological area until not too long ago. And I don't really want to go back to that. I may end up doing some more of that on one level or other. But I've been spending a lot of time working on Truth News. I mean, I spent the whole weekend writing an article, which I've got to keep confidential for now, but it's going to be a real bombshell article when it gets released. And it's currently actually going through some legal assessment. But it's going to be a mainstream media piece, and I'm feeling very excited about it.
Ooh, you've got the bones rattling.
Yeah. It's going to be good. I mean, so like, but what I find, doing the research and writing and stuff really engaging and challenging as well. As much as I enjoy doing this radio show, I actually really like writing.
Oh, you're a great writer. You're a great researcher.
Thanks. Yeah. And it's a bit hard to do both because, like, when I spent 2 or 3 days doing that, I feel a bit exhausted and I didn't really feel like doing another radio show, to be honest. Then I feel, you know, I'm getting lazy again, so I better do it, you know. So here I am doing it again.
So what have we got in the cards for the people, lovely people?
What we've got, Climate Gate 2. Let's have a quick look at that.
Climate Gate 2, the return.
Yeah, the return of Climate Gate. Well, I can give you the article here from The Guardian.
Yeah, what's this
trusted
all about?
Source. Fresh round of hacked climate science emails leaked online.
Oh, good-o.
A file containing 5,000 emails has been made available in an apparent attempt to repeat the impact of 2009's similar release. a fresh trench of private emails exchanged between leading climate scientists throughout the last decade was released online on Tuesday. The unauthorized publication is an apparent attempt to repeat the impact of similar releases of emails on the eve of the Copenhagen Climate Summit in late 2009. And of course, there is another climate summit just about to start in Durban in South Africa. So whoever's doing it is timing it. You know,
well, that's better. Careful. You know, you do it in a hot country. Like, I mean, if I was trying to convince everyone of climate change, I wouldn't be doing it in Copenhagen. You know,
yeah, that didn't go down too well. I'd try to do it in a really
hot, desolate country. Like,
that really did not go down too well, did it? Now, look, I've got a few quotes here. JoanneNova.com.au has a few quotes here for us from some of the choice emails. And we've got, you know, pretty much the same types of things we've seen before. Observations do not show rising temperatures throughout the tropical troposphere unless you accept one single study and approach and discount a wealth of others. This is just downright dangerous. We need to communicate the uncertainty and be honest. Phil, that's to Phil Jones, I assume. Hopefully, we can find time to discuss this further if necessary. I mean, these are informal emails.
And what
emails.
Happened to him? Fired. Did he? I don't know. That's a conjecture. That's a joke. I don't know.
Yeah, look, I don't know. And, you know, I'd have to go through these emails in depth to find out, you know, what the real scope of them is. I mean, there seems to be a bit of talk here about the medieval warm period. I mean, one of the emails here is saying it will be very difficult to make the medieval warm period go away in Greenland. There's just something about the language here. You know, it's really nuanced, but it tells you about their mentality. A growing body of evidence shows that hydroclimatic variability during the putative medieval warm period was more regionally extreme in terms of the frequency and duration of megadroughts than anything we have seen in the 20th century. So in certain ways, the medieval warm period may have been more climatically extreme than in modern times. But in other cases, we actually see where they're trying to damage control because they see that is unacceptable. And
it's unacceptable behavior.
Well, yeah, they basically keep saying to each other, what are we going to do about this? We found this information that doesn't fit with the PR. What are we going to do? How are we going to massage it?
The basis of the original round one of ClimateGate was that a lot of the emails were just basically, oh my God, this doesn't fit with our you know, drive, Mr. Gore's version of reality. So how are we going to hide it, or how are we going to? And that's what got everyone's goot up. And it looks like the same. So is this a batch of emails that were from the original hack and just been released now, or is it a new hack?
Well, it appears to be anonymous, although it didn't come through WikiLeaks at this time. The previous one actually came from WikiLeaks. This one, I don't know, it's going around. There's a few sites that have it. It's a zip file. I downloaded it earlier, actually. I haven't opened it yet. But, it's just a large zip file. But look, the point here to remember is that these scientists are meant to be just objectively trying to study and give us the facts. That's what they're supposed to be doing. But in actuality, they are proxies for activists. They are basically acting as an arm of an activist agenda. Now, look, it's a tricky one because I don't mind people being activists, right? And I think it's important to be an activist for something that's important that you care about. But science is meant to be about facts and information. And this is what we really have to hammer this home to people so that they don't lose the concept of what science is. It's just so important, Josh. I mean, because it's about thousands of years of civilization and cultural evolution that brought us science.
All the way back to the Magna Carta.
Well, it really goes back to the ancient Greeks. It goes back to, you know, a lot of threads in human culture. But science, as we know it today, emerged in the what they call the Enlightenment. And that was after the Renaissance. That was when the dogmas of the church were being let go of. And, you know, people were prepared to say, you know, look at a telescope and see what's up there, you know.
Yeah. Let's have a peek. The planets seem to be doing this little reverse thing. The Mars seems to be going forward and then backwards. Maybe the Earth is round.
Yeah.
Maybe the Earth is actually not the center of the universe.
And, you know, and you had conceptual theories like Copernicus's theory of it. And then, of course, the telescope was invented and Galileo was able to confirm a lot of the things that Copernicus had proposed. But it was only possible because they allowed natural observation and measurement and the progression of that to lead to stronger and stronger, I guess, constructs of reality. Now, here's the problem. There's this thing in science they call confirmation bias. And this actually happens with scientific researchers when they're looking for a particular result and because they have a preconception. And so they're always looking for evidence that confirms that preconception. But the tricky part of it is that as a scientist, you do need to have a hypothesis because science works by, first of all, you know, you make an observation, then you make a hypothesis, then you make more observations to see if they confirm the hypothesis.
Yeah.
But if you get attached to your hypothesis to such an extent that you think when some other evidence comes through that conflicts with it, that must be wrong evidence, that's when you're in big trouble.
And it also comes from when instead of going, hey, we're interested in a concept, let's find out the truth no matter where it lies, instead of saying, sorry, my cat just came in and...
We welcome cats to this show.
Yeah, oh yeah. So instead, when you get some sort of political or business backing you to come up with a certain answer, like the smoking lobby or in fact some of these global banks and cartels to basically push a certain agenda.
And
to come up with science that backs that agenda. And it happens on both sides. You know, it happens on the anthropogenic climate change side and on the natural side as well. I mean, there's lots of vested interests, but we here at Truth News try to weigh through all of it and see where we get to.
We do, and we're the ones who are being reasonable. You see, despite, of course, the spin and the constant noise you hear, those who protest the carbon tax being some terribly, you know, noisy nuisance. Really, the people that we bring to you, the voices we bring to you, are so reasonable. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Folks. Yeah, I mean, we're overly reasonable, and I think we need to toughen up. So, going to break, and we'll get back into some more unreasonable stuff in the next segment. Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now. Welcome back to the show. Well, tonight we're talking about things that are reasonable, things that are unreasonable. Josh, you want to talk about the Flat Earth Society, I believe.
Yeah, well, I mean, just to talk about bunged up science. I mean, you know, and this is the thing that people can try to explain anything.
Are they kookaburras in the background there, Josh?
They are. I live in in the middle of a national park, and so we're lots of interesting birds.
Lucky bugger. Yeah, we'll have to do a whole show. Beautiful. We'll have to do a whole show at your hideaway one day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
To the accompaniment of bush sounds.
Yeah, yeah, anyway, that'd be good.
Please continue.
So this Flat Earth Society, you can check it out, the flatearthsociety.org. I mean, seriously, and once you start reading through it, you start thinking, you know, I mean, you know, it's all a bit of a joke, but they seriously take themselves very serious about the Earth is flat and everything is a joke. But it just goes to show that you really, you know, there's people that believe in anything, and they can put forth strange scientific sort of sounding arguments, but you know, it just takes a second to have a real good hard look around to say, well, no, this is bull. I mean, it's just utter nonsense.
Well, yes, I encourage anyone listening to go and check that out. But I mean, you know, you've got to understand that there's a difference between just using words that sound good, that make you feel comfortable because they're nice words all put together in good sentences that are sort of grammatically right and have a nice tight feel to them, right? See, that's PR. That's what we call PR, right? PR is like this construction of words, right?
Yeah, especially big words.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, you know, it can vary. Sometimes, you know, there's different I guess, moods are sometimes used in PR.
But it's like yeah. You know, I've had this before where people are just very good at using large words, and it makes them sound instantly knowledgeable about the topic you're talking about, and you can't sort of you kind of get overrun by them.
You do. You get you can get overrun by them, and well, of course, I often find that people with that sort of academic perspective can use language that just sounds very convincing. But of course, it really is just.
Well, look, folks, we live in the information age, so you know it doesn't matter what someone sounds like. Go and check the information out for yourself. Verify. You know, it doesn't take much to verify. Like, seriously, in this day and age, we live in an age where you can just type into Google a few keywords, have a look at that argument, type in another few keywords, have a look at the other argument, and assess the statistics and the data for yourself. And it really literally takes you, you know, an hour or two. Whereas back, you know, I mean, even 10, 12 years ago, you'd have to go trolloping to the library, get in there, become a member, look through books. I mean, it would take you years to really become good at and knowledgeable about a certain subject.
But one thing I'll say is that, say, take the Flat Earth Society, as you mentioned. You know, there are some kooky ideas out there. But what you will find is that the ideas that are, I guess, pretty widely accepted, that you don't find, you know, you don't find Nobel Prize winning physicists, you know, subscribing to it. You don't find like leading, like experts, saying the Earth is flat. And I don't want to.
Sometimes you do hear this.
I don't think so. I think I'll take you up on that one. I'm pretty certain you won't.
Like, even in the 9/11 Truth Movement, sometimes you get some person that's really good, and all of a sudden, a few years later, and they've got lots of, you know, letters by their name, and all of a sudden they'll say, oh, it was blue beams from outer space, and you think, what the hell?
Well, I actually would disagree with you on some aspects of what you're saying. I mean, I know that there are people who are considered to be, you know, great people. You know, they may have letters after their name in the sense that they've been, you know, in high political office. And I'm thinking of Jesse Ventura, you know, but see, Jesse doesn't have any scientific qualifications at all. And see, the problem there is that some of these people who come up with ideas, look, I don't mean to denigrate them as people, but they're not sometimes very qualified in what they're saying.
Yeah.
Now, but far be it from me to say you shouldn't think this. You know, and if you really think that that the Earth is flat, go ahead, you know, make your case, research it, you know, write papers, do it all, okay? But what I find, and this is actually a really important thing for me, and it's one of the main reasons I do Truth News, is that when we have, a scientific construct, like, you know, the theory of gravity, it's well established. You don't find people who are leaders in their field saying, oh, it doesn't exist, right?
Mm.
Now, I don't mean by saying that they shouldn't be able to if they want to, right? But they don't. But this is what makes climate science so different to those other sciences, right? Because climate science has leading scientists who completely disagree with this so-called consensus.
Yeah.
And they are accepted, acknowledged scientists of the highest caliber, right? Even though the proponents of man-made climate change try to convince you otherwise, the fact is you just look at their resumes, you find out who they are, like John Christie and, you know, Lindzen, these people, they're highly qualified. They are qualified to have these opinions, right?
Yeah.
And the same goes for other topics that are controversial that we've brought up on Truth News. And I'm talking about questioning vaccines. There's a lot of very highly qualified people who are leaders in their field who've questioned vaccines, right? So I really don't want to conflate that with people who say the Earth is flat, because it really is different, Josh.
Like, the people
who say the Earth is flat, and you know, God bless their souls, if they want to believe that, that's fine. But you don't tend to find let them be who they are. Really, but there aren't any leading edge scientists in there saying that. I'm sorry, but I have to put my foot down there. Otherwise, it's like everything is conflated. And no, otherwise, absolutely. I feel like an idiot. And actually, there's no truth at all. It's all relative. You know.
I guess why I brought it up is there's all sorts of crazy bull out there,
yeah.
And they all put a case for it. But and they're all allowed to, for sure. But you know, it's really important to research for yourself and find other references and look around the web, because you get all sorts of nut job things. And the problem, and why I brought it up in the first place, was that I've heard media say, oh, 9/11 is an inside job. I mean, these conspiracy theories are nuts. I mean, there's a group thinking that the world's flat, and that they instantly put me in the same camp.
I know. And look, the use of groups or individuals who are like in the too hard basket or in the stupid basket, right?
Yeah.
As a way of denigrating other people by association, mm-hmm. is a horrendously nasty thing that's done in politics, in our society. And actually, it is the next subject I want to talk about on today's show, because as we were talking about earlier off mic, I was talking to you about the Occupy Wall Street groups basically yeah. banning discussion of, and they put this all in the same breath, Alex Jones, David Icke, and reptilians, right? Mm. Basically conflating. It's called conflating. They're basically saying this is like this, and it's all ridiculous, therefore we're going to ban it. And so on the OWS websites, they've said these subjects are banned, conspiracy theories generically are banned, and they said it's a global network ban.
Yeah. I mean, let's just cut to the chase here. What is a conspiracy theory?
Indeed.
You know, who decides that? And what what about the past? Are you allowed to talk about the past?
Well, actually, Josh, interesting you should ask that question, because I was on Radio Skid Row this morning and we asked the same question. And it turns out that conspiracy theory has several definitions, at least in the Wikipedia world. And if we actually find out what they are, there's actually political conspiracy and there's criminal conspiracy, and they are actually somewhat regarded as different things.
Right.
Because in political conspiracy, it's actually an attempt to create an outcome by manipulative processes. In criminal conspiracy, it's actually a conspiracy to do something which is considered immoral or illegal. But there's a huge overlap, as you can imagine. But there's also a separation as well. Are you good to come back for another segment, Josh?
Bring it on.
This is Nick Drake singing Hazy Jane 1.
Treat you right. Do you like what you're doing? Would you do it some more? Or will you stop once and wonder what you're doing it for? Hey, slow Jane, makes sense. Slow, slow Jane, cross the fence. Something that's past. Do you find things are moving just a little too fast? Or do you hope to find new ways of quenching your thirst? Do you hope to find new ways of doing better than your worst? Hey, slow Jane, let me prove. Slow, slow Jane, we're on the move. Do it for you. I'm sure that you'll do the same for me one day. Don't try to be true, even if it's only in your hazy. A little like me. Is it all so confusing? Is it hard to believe? When the winter is coming, can you sign up and leave? Hey, slow Jane, clear your eye. Slow, slow Jane. Fly on by.
Welcome back to the Truth News. Well, tonight we're having a bit of a rambling chat, which we need to do every now and then to blow off steam. If you find it too ridiculous or boring, you can always switch off. But Josh, I want to just recap on the two definitions of conspiracy that I came across today on Wikipedia. So conspiracy as crime. In criminal law, a conspiracy is an agreement between two or more persons to break the law at some time in the future, and in some cases with at least one overt act in furtherance of that agreement, and there is no limit on the number participating in the conspiracy, and no requirement that any steps have been taken to put the plan into effect. And that's a very important part of the definition of conspiracy in crime, is that you can have a conspiracy to do something. Like, let's say if we sat down and said, we're going to rob a bank, right? And we could sit down and we could plan it all out, right? And never do it, but it's still a conspiracy.
Mm.
And when you think about it, you see, it's actually, you can be thrown into jail for a conspiracy. And so even under our system, even though they poo-poo conspiracy theory in the media, they convict people of conspiracy all the time. It's quite common for people to go to prison simply because they talked about doing something. In fact, a lot of the terrorism convictions are done on that basis. So isn't it ironic that we've got this poo-pooing of conspiracy theory? Oh, it doesn't exist. Oh, it's ridiculous. Conspiracy theory, nonsense. Then meanwhile, people are going to prison all the time. You know, you're charged with conspiracy. But now the other type of conspiracy, which is a civil conspiracy. A civil conspiracy or collusion is an agreement between two or more parties to deprive a third party of legal rights or deceive a third party to obtain an illegal objective. A conspiracy may also refer to a group of people who make an agreement to form a partnership in which each member becomes an agent or partner of every other member and engage in planning or agreeing to commit some act.
Act one.
Anyway, that's a bit vague, that definition.
But when do we get into the space aliens?
Right. So you're trying to, like, you're asking what type of conspiracy would that be? Would that be a civil conspiracy or?
Sorry,
there's another type. There's actually four types of conspiracy according to Wikipedia. There's cabal, conspiracy civil, conspiracy crime, and conspiracy political, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, conspiracy political is a group of persons united in the goal of usurping or overthrowing an established political power. Now, that's your, you know, your people who can, the conspiracies about the Masons or the Jews or the Illuminati, you know, but basically. Well,
what about the people that overthrow, what about the people in Egypt.
You mean the
that occupied
the Arab Spring?
Yeah.
What about them?
Well, would that consider them political conspiracy to overthrow? Because they did end up overthrowing their government by just sitting in a park.
Well, according to Wikipedia, it just says a group of persons united in the goal of usurping or overthrowing an established political power. Well, I guess you're right. Typically, the final goal is to gain power through a revolutionary coup d'etat or through assassination.
That's another conspiracy right there. The thing that just does my head in is it just seems to be this throwaway term. It's like a term that you can just use to just shut off conversation.
Well, yeah, I mean, considering all these nuanced definitions of it, yeah. I mean, how can they just use it like a label, like a simplistic label, when it's actually quite a complex thing in itself?
Mm. Well, let's get back to Occupy.
Yeah, sure.
Occupy everything.
Well, they've banned conspiracies anyway. Okay, so let's just make that absolutely clear. So you conspiracy theorists out there, you're not welcome. Or if you talk about your conspiracies somewhere else, just don't talk about them when you're in Occupy because they don't like it.
Yeah, and the other thing they said is don't talk about things in the past.
They did indeed say that. They did indeed say that.
That's all in the past. We want to look at the future.
They don't want to look at the past. They want to look at the future. Now,
and it all sounds nice. Like that's a nice sentiment. But hang on, isn't the whole reason that you're there because of the past acts of the state and corporations? I mean, come on.
Yeah, and I also think, I mean, this is partly, this was raised actually in some of the discussions on their page. And, you know, one of them was saying, actually, it might have been someone on Truth News was actually debating me. I can't remember. I read a lot of stuff online. But, you know, someone somewhere that I read was saying that you shouldn't focus on the past. But, I mean, I find that quite ironic because, you know, the 9/11 Truth Movement wants to bring about a better future. So what we're actually looking for is the future to be better than the past was. You know, so we want an inquiry, a proper one, and we want to have subpoena power, and we want to make sure that this never happens again, you know. So, again, playing with words. We know the reason why they don't want to talk about conspiracy theories, because once it's political alignments. The socialists never talk about conspiracy theories. Because the socialists have a kind of a utilitarian, I don't know, is it Machiavellian? No. They've got some idea that they just want to create their new revolution and change everything and redistribute the wealth and bring in, you know, the super state that levels everything as their solution.
Yeah.
Whereas the people who talk about conspiracy theories often are, they want to fix the problems, they really want to stop the deceit, the dishonesty, the lying, and the criminal behaviour as a priority. Whereas the people who are pushing agendas for massive social reform and change, they actually often sideline or minimise the issues about truth and honesty. I mean, we've seen Noam Chomsky, you know, who famously said, "Who cares who killed Kennedy?" You know, he said that. You know, he said, "Who cares? Who cares if 9/11 was an inside job?" Now, you wonder, why would he say that? Well, it's partly because of his mindset. It's partly because he belongs to this way of thinking that what we've got to do is create this new system, and once we move everything over to the new system, everything will be better. That's actually what these people believe. Whereas I believe we've got to fix the things that are wrong right now. And one of the things that's wrong is there's people who are running around, you know, creating false flag terrorism, lying about it, lying about climate change, manipulating the system, stacking the odds, doing things that are by any normal moral compass wrong. And, you know, it seems to me fairly straightforward that you want to stop that. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I just want to get to truth. I just want to find. I just want people to be a bit more wary of political ideology and of corporate greed and all of that stuff. And I think that when you have a look at Occupy and the what their demands are, they're really kind of all over the shop. They don't really know what they want.
But there is a huge emphasis on sweeping reforms that would involve redistribution of wealth.
Oh, absolutely.
They've made that clear.
Got an email this morning from Michael Moore, who I'm subscribed to for some reason.
Sure.
And it's 10 things. He's trying to basically become more leaderful.
Leaderful?
Oh, I don't know if that's even a word.
Interesting term. Well, we can add that to the language.
Where does Occupy go from here? He's got a proposal. So eradicate the Bush tax cuts for the rich and institute new taxes on the wealthiest Americans. So, I mean, why doesn't he just write a check to the IRS with a whole heap of his cash? I mean, that's anyway.
Okay, yeah, good idea. I'm giving him the suggestion. He's apparently got $50 million or so tucked away.
Yeah, and that's, you know, in fact, we should play a video. Actually, if you can find it, it would be a really good video to play. I think I put it on your Facebook. It's Adam versus the Man versus Michael Moore.
I'll see if I can dig it up in the next segment.
Yeah, it's really good because it just basically breaks down some of the some of what's happening there with the old Michael Moore.
But, you know, just in regard to this redistribution thing, a point I want to make is that so the Occupy Wall Street want to redistribute this so-called wealth, right? But what we're doing and what the conspiracy theorists generally are doing, and I mean, I just use that word. I don't care that it's a word that's you know, tarnished. Let's just use the word. We are conspiracy theorists. Okay, so what? No. What the conspiracy theorists want to do is understand what's going on, right? And money is a bit of a conspiracy. And money is a bit of a trick, right? It's a kind of a game, right? So, and it's a game that's always facilitated concentration of power. So if you think you're going to solve that problem by taking this monopoly money, you know, and redistributing it, it's not going to work, mate. It's just not going to work. It's going to end up whatever organ you create, whatever organ of state you create to redistribute that is going to get bloated with its own power and importance.
I think you've hit the nail right on the head there, Howard. I think this whole notion that we can redistribute monopoly money around the board and just start the game over is ridiculous.
Absolutely absurd, and we will be right back after the break for a final segment. Truth News Australia. Today we are rambling through some just random topics that we wanted to talk about, and we didn't have any plan, but it's turning out pretty good, I think. Josh, what do you think so far? How have you done?
We're cleaning the clocks.
Cleaning the clocks. Now, look, we're just going to play here a clip from Adam versus Michael Moore. That's Adam Kakesh, who used to be on RT, now just a kind of independent roaming reporter, I think. We'll just play you this clip as requested. Here we go.
I've seen a lot of rich liberals dropping by Occupy Wall Street to show their support for the 99%. But it seems they're having a bit of a hard time actually joining the 99%. So if you're a rich liberal who resents your own success, all you have to do is go to adamversustheman.com/invest and give me your money until you're happy, and you can rest assured that money will support continued coverage of the occupation movement. Or if you're really sick, you could just write a big check to the IRS. But for the sickest of the sick, people like Michael Moore and Russell Simmons, I want to make it even easier. According to the most recent Federal Reserve Flow of Funds report, total U.S. household net worth is about $58.5 trillion, and according to the census.gov's U.S. population clock, as of 12:42 Eastern Time today, November 8, 2011, that gets divided by 312,575,092 Americans. But wait, according to widely cited Nobel laureate Joseph Stiglitz, 42% of that is controlled by the nation's top 1%. 42% of 58.5 trillion is 24.57 trillion divided by 1% of the population, or 3,125,751 Americans, and the average 1%er is worth $7,860,510.96. So the remaining 58% of the wealth is $33.93 trillion, and we divide that by the remaining 99% of the population, or specifically 309,449,341 Americans, and we get an average net worth of us 99%ers of $109,646.38. I'm just pointing this out to set a target for rich liberals that want to take themselves all the way down to the average of the 99%, you know, in solidarity. Now, of course, that number is skewed by those at the top of the 99%, but so is that figure for the 1%. We know there are some folks out there with a lot more than the 1% or average of about 7.9 million. The top tenth of a percenters. The true beneficiaries of corporatism. Michael Moore, with a conservatively estimated net worth of $50 million, and Russell Simmons, with a reported net worth of $340 million, are well above that average 1%er and fall squarely in that 0.1%. They are the very problem that the movement they claim to support is protesting, and yet while Fox News gets heckled out of Occupy Wall Street, these two are embraced and embraced by their representatives by the media. But I'm
just going to pause there. Look, I really think, you know, you could laugh at that and you could giggle, right? And you could say, look, it's irrelevant. But it's actually not. It's actually really important.
Yeah.
I mean, because I tell you why it's important. I personally don't begrudge Michael Moore for his money. Like, he made some good films. He did some good stuff,
well,
you know.
Same,
he was successful.
I think he should keep it all.
Yeah, exactly. He should. But it's when people like him get on the bandwagon of manipulatively supporting this idea that the 1% are somehow the problem, that it's so ludicrous. It's just a joke, isn't it? It's a total joke.
I tell you where there isn't the joke. It's the 0.0000001%.
Oh, yeah.
We're about seven families or something, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just don't let them rule my life. I mean,
well, no, but see, that what you're talking about, that 0.0000%, you know, most of them basically were born into their money, and you get, there is it that upper echelons of the extreme wealth that those people didn't even do anything to earn what they've got. I mean, you know, Michael Moore made some films and he pulled himself up by his bootstraps, and good on him, fantastic. But a lot of people just were born into it and did absolutely nothing. Now, I do have some issues with that, but, you know.
I mean, I really don't care. Like, the thing is that rich people, they generally spend their money. And that's the way redistribution happens. I mean, they not only do that, they create jobs, they fucking create factories.
But a lot of them actually own the bankings. You know, like they own the banks. They actually they move the goalposts when they need to. Huh? You know, it's like to them, to the Rothschilds, money isn't even important. You know, they actually see themselves on a higher level. Like they don't think in terms of money. In fact, I'm pretty sure that once you get up to the sort of, you know, upper echelons of like hundreds of millions of dollars, you don't really think about the money anymore.
No.
Like it's just more about like your power. It's like your power becomes the key thing.
Status and you've done everything and you get bored of everything and you want to try and more things and new things and But
correct.
The whole point of that video was to sort of say, hey, look, Michael. And this isn't just pointing out Michael's just because it's kind of ironic. But this is to all 1% that are sort of joining this.
Look, I personally, can I just say, I disagree with this whole 1% bullshit.
Yeah.
I think it's a completely false construct and I don't believe it. I don't accept it at all. But anyway, continue.
So what I'm saying is, hey, if you're really into it, either write the IRS a check voluntarily. Why do you need the gun of taxation? Why do you need that force, that violence to force you to do it and force everyone else to? You know, if you really if you really want to help people out, go donate half your wealth to a homeless shelter.
Right. Yeah.
You know, create schools. Do something with your cash. What's with the obsession of forcing forcing the police or the policy enforcers
to take that money from you. Yeah.
To take that money from you. I mean, it's just weird.
But also there's this other mechanism that occurs that the richer you get, the more accountants and lawyers you can hire, right? Now, the more accountants and lawyers you can hire, the more likely it is that you're going to find loopholes that get you around any tax.
Exactly.
And that's where I think it's particularly dishonest. But I don't think that Michael Moore is dishonest. I think he's on the path that I disagree with, right? But I don't think he's the sort of person who's like schemingly, manipulatively, like what the super elites are doing. I just think he's a bit deluded in his attitudes, right? Because I just don't want to get into Michael Moore bashing. I just think that's pointless.
To be honest, I find his movies really funny.
Yeah, yeah.
He's quite witty, and but it's just I just use that example because when Kirkish did that video, I thought, yeah, you know, it's a really some really good stats there.
And the point is like if you earn say a couple of hundred grand a year, right, you're going to be taxed like crazy. You know, they're going to take half of that off you in tax, right?
Yeah.
But if you earn 10 million a year, right, you're going to find all kinds of loopholes around paying your tax. You're going to do it because guess what? You can afford to spend $1 million on an accountant.
Yeah.
And that means you're going to give your accountant maybe $1 million to save $2 million.
Yeah.
Do you get it? Like once you're at these larger amounts of money, there's no way taxation is gonna fix it because the money brings power and the whole system runs on this complex system of laws that are all just written words that you can manipulate if you're clever enough and you've got enough time and money and people that you can pay, you can just get around it.
But you know what I love? Instead of people saying, oh, we've got to tax the rich more, tax them, why don't they say, hey, you got to tax us less? You know, what's the obsession you've got to, you know, get them doing the same as us because we're hating this and everyone's got to hate it. I'm not a rich guy. I mean, I grew up extremely poor, you know, but it's really not what I see is that the violence has got to stop. This obsession with violence, this obsession with the state, with people thinking, oh, we can get the state just to go around with guns, taking money off people and redistributing wealth.
No, I couldn't agree more. I actually think it's a mechanism that actually keeps people enslaved.
The whole concept of greed. Oh, we've got to stop greed. Oh, you can't stop greed. Greed is just what it's part of.
But it makes the slaves feel happier, though. You see, the slaves feel happier if they think that the big guy on the hill is taking a hit.
Yeah,
it actually makes them more productive because they think, yeah, you took a hit, you know, I'm feeling better now.
Yeah, instead of hey, can you hit me less?
Yeah,
it's like oh, can you hit him more? Yeah. Can you hit him as much as you're hitting me? Because that'll make me feel better. It's like let's just stop the hitting.
Actually, speaking of slaves, I just want to play this little clip. It's kind of silly. It's actually just 30 seconds long. It's just a little music clip. Here we go.
Go on.
Slaves built the pyramids. Slaves built the Parthenon. Slaves built America. Slaves, this is your song. Thank you. Slaves. Thank you. Slaves. Thank you. Slaves. Slaves, this is your song. Thank you.
That could be the anthem of the Occupy movement.
No, well, thank God we've, you know, pretty much gotten rid of slavery. It's still around, you know, forced marriage and they're definitely slavery still around and it's really about abolishing it. But, you know, the fact is that it's around, like we think we've abolished it to a certain extent, but it's still around in a lot of ways. You know, people are really in a lot more subtle way.
Well, yeah, and I think one of the main ways it's there is in the mentality that people think that we should be slaves. You know what I mean? It's like bow down to the state.
Yeah.
Bow down, pay your taxes, just follow absurd rules. Bow down before the power of the state. That is slavery, pure and simple.
Yeah, like we can't do things without it. Oh no.
Okay, we are out of time. It's been fantastic. Thanks for joining me tonight, Josh, and thanks out there. You're all great. We love you.
Yep. And thanks to the Kookaburras.
Thanks to the Kookaburras. Good night from Truth News Australia.